Amen. Good morning. It's so good to be back with you today. Last week, Michelle and the kids and I were in Middle Tennessee, where I conducted a gospel meeting at the Cedar Hill congregation. I was able to encourage the Christians there. We had a great experience there worshiping and praising God there with those folks. And that's not far from where I grew up. In fact, it's really in the same little town where I grew up. And so the kids got to play in the creek with cousins and pick blackberries and do all the fun stuff that I did in the summers when I was growing up. So it was kind of a double blessing to be there for the gospel meeting, but also to be there visiting family this past week. And but I'm glad to be back with you today for our worship service. I'm happy that all of our youth made it back safe and sound from Impact. I know they had a spiritually uplifting time there, and just so excited about Luke's decision to follow Christ and be baptized into Jesus while there. Just happy that you're here today. We've got visitors with us, and just so happy that you're here. We were looking around the auditorium, and we've got some folks, I think, that are visiting here from our Vacation Bible School that we had just a week or so ago, and so we're glad to have you here today. Lots of great stuff going on in the busyness and the heat of the summer, but it's all really good things, and so it's a blessing. Well, today we're going to continue talking about this series on the topic of real-life discipleship. Last week, Benjamin kicked us off with a great lesson, and thanks to our wonderful deacon of technology, David Dudley, I was able to listen to that sermon on podcast on Tuesday of this week and got to experience what you experienced this past Sunday with that fantastic reading of Scripture that we had with looking at passages where Jesus calls us to follow Him. And then to be able to hear from Mike Brinkman about what apprenticeship looks like and the connection that apprenticeship has to following Jesus. It was really wonderful. And as I listened to that, I thought, man, that is the perfect first lesson. And I just thank you, Benjamin, for the way that you conducted that and handled that, because that really got us started on a good frame of mind for this series of lessons that we'll be continuing for the next weeks to come. Being a disciple of Jesus really does mean that you've made the decision to apprentice yourself to Jesus. And so this series is so important because really you can't talk about anything that is more core and foundational to what it means to be a Christian than to talk about discipleship. Because really, for us as individuals, we are called to be apprentices of Christ. That's what we're called to individually. But when you think about what we're called to collectively as a church, our mission has everything to do with not only ourselves individually being apprentices of Jesus or disciples of Jesus, but we're called to go out and make other disciples of Jesus. So really, you could summarize what it means to be a Christian as disciples who make disciples of Jesus. That's what it's really all about. That's our mission as individuals. It's our mission as a church. It has everything to do with what it means to be a Christian. You might remember several years ago, there was a, I think this was in the early 80s, there was a comedian that came here from Russia by the name of Yakov Smirnov. I don't know if you remember Yakov Smirnov, but he had this line, "What a country!" Because he comes to America and experiences something radically different than what he had known in the communist Soviet Union. And so he talks about, man, all these amazing things. He says, "I came to America and I went to the grocery store and I saw you had powdered milk. You just add water to this powder and boom, you've got milk. And then I see you've got powdered orange juice. You add water to this powder and boom, you've got orange juice." And so then I go a few aisles over and I see baby powder. And I think, "You add a little water to this powder and you, what a country, you got a baby." You know, some people think that's the way discipleship works. You take a believer and you add a little water from the baptistry, and poof, you've got a fully devoted follower a real disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to say to you this morning, it takes more than just water to make a disciple. Jesus told us what our mission is. In Matthew 28, and I know we've said this over and over again, but I don't think we can say it enough. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus says, I want you to go and make disciples. He did not commission us to go baptize people. Now, don't misunderstand me. He goes on to say that making disciples involves baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But our mission is more comprehensive than simply the task of baptism. It is a part of it, but it is more comprehensive than that. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And he was very serious about us taking seriously that mission. He wants us to be extremely serious about it, and we saw that last week. I really appreciate so much the way Carl and the way that Ray read those passages. Wasn't that a blessing last week? To hear them read those passages and then Benjamin narrating along the way about the seriousness of how Jesus really wants us to see how that it has everything to do with following him. Your Christian life has everything to be about being a disciple. He's so serious about it, and he's to the point that some of those passages, wow, they're really, really staggering to hear how serious he is about it. I want to look at one of those today. We're just going to look at one verse. Now, the passage from Luke 9 supplements it that was read for us a few moments ago, but I want us to really buckle down today on Luke chapter 14 and verse number 27. Okay? Luke 14, 27. This is going to kind of help get us going from last week, and then will launch us into the lessons to come. Listen to what our Lord says. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I mean, that's rather pointed, isn't it? It's rather direct. Now, I want us to look. There are two components that he talks about here that are essential in when it comes to being a disciple of Jesus. But before we get to the two components, I want you to see how that Jesus really gets down to the main focus of what his teaching had everything to do with, and that is, it is implied here, you must be a disciple of Jesus. If you really claim to be a Christian, it is more than just saying that you believe in Jesus. To be a Christian, Jesus has the expectation that you actually follow him in your life. That you actually are a disciple. It is the main focus of his teaching. The main thrust of his ministry is that you take seriously your personal fellowship, discipleship of him. Let me show you how serious he was about it. Now, this might come as a shock to you, but if you look in your Bible, I'll encourage you to find it for yourself, but I did the study this week and I see that this is true. The word Christian is only used three times in the entire Bible. Three times. The word religion is almost never used. It's only used a few times, hardly ever. It is really odd in light of the way that we tend to put our priorities and focus as Christians in religion, in Christianity today. It is very odd to see how little the New Testament talks about worship or worship services. It's really strange how few times it talks about those things. But forms of the word disciple or discipleship is used over 260 times in the New Testament alone. Jesus was calling us and is calling us into discipleship. It is clearly his main focus. So we need to ask the question, and this is today's lesson, what is a disciple? If that's his main thrust, his main focus, we need to know what a disciple is. The word disciple, methetes in the original Greek, In the context of the ways in which that word is used in the New Testament, meant someone, there's really no better definition, someone who was an apprentice. And that's the reason we did what we did last week, because that's exactly what a disciple is. A disciple, to flesh it out a little bit more, was a person who walked with Jesus, observed his teaching and his behavior, and then took the time to practice what they saw and actually try to live out the lifestyle that he or she was observing in Jesus himself. That, my friends, is a disciple. Now, what does it require then to be a disciple of Jesus? This verse gives us two central components of what it means to take your discipleship seriously and to be the disciple. In the first place, discipleship requires death to your way of life. I told you, it's rather pointed. It's rather direct. If you're going to be a disciple, step one is you've got to die to self. Jesus put it this way, you've got to bear your own cross. Now, it is unfortunate to me the way we use that phrase a lot of times. People say, well, I got a cross to bear, and they mean by that, you know, I've got some, you know, overdue taxes I've got to pay. That's my cross to bear. Or, you know, I've got an ingrown toenail. You know, that's my cross to bear. That's not at all what Jesus has in mind when he says, you've got to bear your own cross. When Jesus says, you've got to bear your own cross, the cross that Jesus had in mind was a means of execution and death in the first century. So Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to do what I'm about to do, and that is, like, I'm going to bear my cross and die. You've got to bear your own cross and die to self. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. That's what discipleship means, first of all. So you see, the key to following Jesus is self-denial. If you are full of yourself, if you are filled with pride and arrogance, and you are self-absorbed, that is, my friend, what is standing in the way of you really being a disciple. It starts right there. I've got to learn to say no to my way of life. I've got to learn to say no to selfishness and say yes to selflessness. You see, Jesus' teaching on this point is so direct. If you're going to be a disciple, you've got to take up your own cross. You've got to deny yourself. We can know that theoretically, but what does that really look like? I don't think I really understood it until Michelle and I had kids. You know, whenever Michelle and I were first married, you know, we were those first few years, you know, where you're basically an extended honeymoon. It's like, if we want to go see a movie at 9:30 at night, we're going to go see a movie at 9:30 at night. If I want to have a Baby Ruth candy bar for supper, then I can have a Baby Ruth candy bar for supper. But then all of a sudden, whenever you decide to have kids, then all of a sudden, you have to make the conscious decision. It is a reality check that's out of this world. Because you have to start making the decision, I have to deny what I would want to do because I have to basically pour my life into this child if this child's going to survive. So I have to deny myself. Parenting, I think, is one of the most powerful illustrations of what self-denial, a little taste of what that looks like. Well, Jesus says, here's the great irony of what it means to be my disciple. As Kyle Eidelman has so aptly put it, real life is only found when you come to the end of yourself. Now, I know that sounds counterintuitive because we tend to think in this land of prosperity where I have the right and the freedom to pursue happiness that my life is going to be have meaning and fulfillment whenever I basically live my life for myself. We tend to think that, you know, if I deny what I want, if I delay what I want, delayed gratification, or I completely deny it altogether, that I'm going to miss out on life. And Jesus' message says the very opposite is true. It is a great paradoxical truth of real life, is that it is only whenever you become a slave to Jesus that you really find true freedom. It is only whenever you die to self that you come to experience the sweetness and the beauty of what life really is all about, the life that really you've been so desperately trying to find. So discipleship requires, first of all, that I bear my own cross. That is, I put to death my way of life and I replace it by embracing Jesus' way of life. That's the second component. He says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me. You see, what is a disciple? A disciple is the kind of person who is becoming the kind of person that Jesus would be. To be a disciple means that you are consciously, intentionally, deliberately trying to mold and model your life after the Master. Several years ago, you know, it was very popular to wear those WWJD bracelets. It was really popular. Everybody would wear it. Some of you don't remember that. It's been a little while now. But everybody was, you know, believers in Christ would wear these bracelets that had the letters on it, WWJD, which stood for What Would Jesus Do? It was a little reminder. You could look down during the day and on your hand, a reminder, in this situation, what would Jesus do? And it was a challenge to model your behavior, your life, your words, your actions, your attitudes after what Jesus would do in that particular situation. Now, here's what's so interesting. You know where they got the idea for the WWJD bracelets? It came from a book that was published in 1896. A book that some of you no doubt have read by Charles Sheldon, who was a Congregationalist minister in Kansas. Sheldon was trying to figure out what he could do to kind of make the Sunday night service in his church more appealing for people to come to. And so he began to write stories, modern day stories that he would tell in those services. And in those stories, he would tell about various individuals living their lives where they always asked the question, what would Jesus do? All of the chapters of those sermons were then, those sermons were compiled into chapters and published in a book called In His Steps. It sold 30 million copies and is one of the best-selling books of all time. The theme of the book was about a man named Henry Maxwell, who was a preacher who challenged his congregation to do nothing for an entire year, do nothing, without first asking the question, in this situation, what would Jesus do? Now, what Sheldon was trying to get at in that book is exactly what Jesus is talking about here. If you're going to be a disciple, not only must you die to your way of life, but you must replace it by embracing Jesus' way of life. That is what discipleship is all about. To be Jesus' disciple means I want to be with Him and to learn from Him how to be like Him. Jesus does not call you and me to add religious things to our already filled lives. He says you need to die to yourself and have your entire life recreated in my image. Being a disciple means I learn from Jesus how to lead my life, my whole life, my real life. So, with that in mind, let's get right down to it then. What is a disciple? First of all, a disciple is not just a convert to Jesus. Jesus did not tell his followers, go and make converts of all the nations. He said, go and make disciples. And I want to tell you today, there's a big difference between the two. A convert is someone who has come to intellectually believe in Jesus and has embraced his teachings, at least many of them, and in fact maybe has been baptized in Jesus' name. But a disciple is someone who is modeling their life after Jesus. You see, conversion is just the beginning. Jesus told us our mission is more than just to go convert a bunch of folks, but instead to go beyond that, to actually make disciples, to stay with people on their journey, to help them along the way, to help them in their apprenticeship, to model and change their behaviors, actions, and attitudes to be more like Jesus. You see, I think we all understand, I hope you understand by now as much as I've preached on it, that we are saved by grace through faith, not the result of our works. But I think we need to be careful lest we fall into the message of what some have called cheap grace. And that is leaving people with the impression that all you need to do is simply intellectually believe in Jesus, have faith in Jesus, and that somehow that requires nothing of you. As one writer put it, grace is opposed to earning, but it is not opposed to effort. I think too often we try to convert people to becoming Christians as if they can remain in the state of showing no signs of progress toward discipleship whatsoever, and somehow that's okay. We've sometimes, I think, left people with the impression that you need to become a Christian, but discipleship is optional. I want to tell you this morning that every Christian is called to be a disciple, no exceptions. Jesus does not merely call us to be converts, he calls us to be disciples. So a disciple is not just a convert, but also a disciple is not just a pupil or a student either. And I think sometimes we've missed this. The word disciple in the Greek mathetes means more than just a pupil, a student, or a learner. The Greeks had a word for that. They had a word, monthano, which literally means a learner or a student who gains knowledge through instruction. But interestingly enough, that word is hardly ever used in the Gospels. It's like 5 or 6 times in the Gospels that that word is used. A word that is describing a student who gains information or knowledge through learning. Instead, by contrast, the gospel uses the word mathetes, or disciple, over 260 times, a word that means someone who is apprenticing their life, constantly being associated with the master in an effort to try to be like the master. So what is the point? The point is this. Jesus does not call his followers to just merely be intellectual students of his word. He calls us to be disciples who are having lives that are continually transformed after his likeness. A student just learns information, but a disciple copies the lifestyle of the master. More than a learner, a disciple is a follower. And there's a huge difference. I will tell you, I have known some people that had advanced degrees in biblical literature, that were experts when it came to the Bible, professors of the Bible. But when you look at their lives, they were not disciples at all. Jesus doesn't just call us to be students. He calls us to be disciples. But then thirdly, disciples are not just church members. There is a big difference between a disciple and a church member. I want you to hear me on this now. A few weeks ago, I was privileged to go to a conference at the North Boulevard Church of Christ where Vicky, Art and Bonnie's daughter, who's with us here today, attends church. And I got to hear David Young give a lesson on discipleship. And one of the things he talked about in that lesson was the difference between a disciple and a church member. And I want to share with you what he shared with us that day that to me was pretty convicting, but I think very helpful when it comes to being a disciple. Listen to the contrast between the two. Church members go to church. Disciples are the church. Church members talk about Jesus. Disciples follow Jesus. Church members have a religion about God. Disciples have a relationship with Jesus. Church members pray for what they want. Disciples pray for what God wants. Church members confess that they make mistakes. Disciples confess their sins one to another. Church members have doctrines about music. Disciples just love to sing praises to God. Church members believe in going to church, but disciples believe in bringing people to Christ. Church members listen to and critique sermons. Disciples are living sermons. Church members know facts, doctrines, and rituals. Disciples know God intimately. Church members have a doctrine about the Holy Spirit. Disciples have the Holy Spirit. If you ask a church member, what's something powerful that God has done in your life? They'll tell you about something that happened one time years ago. You ask a disciple, what has God done in your life? They'll tell you about something God did this morning. You see, disciples are more than just converts. Disciples are more than just pupils or students of the Word. Disciples are more than just church members. Disciples are apprentices of Jesus. There's a Chinese proverb that unfortunately is often wrongly attributed to Benjamin Franklin, but it's actually an ancient Chinese proverb that says this: tell me and I'll forget. Show me and I may remember. But involve me and I'll understand. That's exactly what Jesus did with his disciples. Jesus never established a church program, not one. He didn't start a church ministry. He didn't form a ministry committee. He didn't even start a Sunday school class. What did he do? Jesus gathered a few guys together, 12 to be specific, and for 3 years he poured his life into them. And he showed them what it means to follow him. He showed them, literally hands-on, showed them in real life what it means to be a disciple. And then after 3 years, he said, okay, guys, you're ready. Now you go do the same thing. Find a few people and show them what it means to follow me. God willing, we'll talk more about that next week. As we bring this all together, I want to tell you that Jesus did not just come to save you from your sin. He did. Praise God, he did. But he didn't just come to save you from your sin. He came to give you a whole new life in this world. He wants you to come to know and experience what it means, what it looks like to live a life on purpose. To live the life you were made to live. This is the life of discipleship. Jesus modeled for us what it means to be truly human. And now he invites you, come and follow me. And so I ask you today, will you come? Will you come and start the journey of discipleship? Just begin the journey by being baptized into Christ. And then will you continue the journey in rising into a new life, a new lifestyle, a new way of living that continues on as you progress through your pilgrim journey in this life? I want to encourage you to seriously think about, am I just a convert? Am I just a student? Am I just a church member? Or am I an apprentice, a disciple of Jesus Christ? That's what he's calling you to do today. As was the case last week, as you leave today, there are some handouts that I encourage you to pick up as you leave in the foyer that form the basis of some questions that you can be thinking about this afternoon, and then bring that sheet back tonight as we meet for our summer nights program downstairs and have some conversation together around the tables about what it means to truly be a disciple. But if we can help you to begin that journey today, or you just need prayers of encouragement, we would love to pray with you or assist you in any way in your obedience to become a disciple of Jesus Christ today. If you need to come forward, there are also elders in the library for private prayer. If we can help you, come to Jesus as we stand together and as we sing.